Good morning. It's good to be able to come and worship God this morning. I appreciate the presence of everyone. Before we begin this morning, I just wanted to remind you of the bulletin. In today's bulletin, I printed an article from a good friend of mine, a preacher, R.J. Evans, down in Gonzales, Louisiana, just a great man in many respects and writes a number of good articles, and I get his bulletin. He wrote some worthwhile goals for 2015. I would encourage you to pick up a copy of that bulletin and read it yourself. Make those goals your goals. I'll try to make them mine. If we run out of copies, if you'll let me know, we'll make some more of those. He mentions them. Let us seek to be more faithful in our church attendance, Hebrews 10:25. Let us give liberally and cheerfully with purpose, talking about our Sunday contribution. 2 Corinthians 9:7, 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2. Be more humble and unselfish, James 4, Philippians 2. Be friendly and hospitable, 1 Peter 4:9, I think about Peter's statement, be given to hospitality. Be more prayerful, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Be of assistance to others, like the Good Samaritan or others who went about doing good. Study the Bible more diligently. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and become a Christian if you are not one. So some worthy goals, some important goals, some biblical goals. Some of our goals for the new year are man-made and they may not be that bad, not a problem, but they're just not that important to the things that God wants for us. So I would encourage you to pick that bulletin up and read that and pass it on to others. I'm sure we know of others who could use those goals in their life as well. Speaking of new years and old years that have passed, I want us to be reminded that when a block of time called a year passes and we come into a new period, I want us to be reminded of some things, hopefully, that will encourage us to greater service to God. When there's the passing of an old year and a new year comes, you know, there's not some cosmic light that goes off blinking or some siren. Sometimes there'll be a New Year's party or something like that. But generally, the New Year's Day is just like any other day. So why should we think why should we be reminded of some things? It just seems like another day in our life. One day passes, another day comes along. Because we traditionally do some thinking around this time of our lives, when one year passes and a new year comes, I thought it would be good for us to consider some things from God's Word, to take some time to pause and reflect upon the old and the new. And I want to do that this morning from God's Word. It's good for us so that we don't just get caught up thinking, well, every day is just alike and it's just the same old thing. In fact, we're going to look at a passage later in the lesson where that's really what some were thinking in the first century. There were some who were mocking, who were saying, well, one year gone, another year will come. It's just all the same. God's not going to do anything. So we've got to be careful about slumping into that thinking about, well, it's just all the same. It is a good time to be reminded of some things at this part of the year while it's still maybe new and beginning on our mind. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. One reminder that we should think about is that God is our creator and he makes each year. We're not here by evolution. We're not here by, the Big Bang, non-theism, no God evolution. That's not why we're here. And when we have a block of time called a year or a day or a week or a month, it's not just by accident. It's not just by chance. It's not evolution. It is by design. And we had a last year, and Lord willing, if he gives us a block of 365 days, it's because God designed that. He made that. He makes each year. Now, man has come along, and we've had different kinds of calendars, different cultures going way back, you know, the Chinese and beyond to the Egyptians and others. Man has come up with different kinds of calendars and how they divide up or what they call their time. There's been different man-made calendars. But the rotation of the earth on its axis and the moon and all of that rotating around the sun, that is by God. And that is a chronology. That is a time frame. There is a time frame in which there are 24 hours, and then there's a time frame in which the earth revolves around the sun in a year, and that is by God. That's not by man. Now, calendars might vary on how they describe that, but God gives us that. In Genesis 1:14, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven." This is the planets. This is the sun, the moon, the stars. This is not by accident. This was not the Big Bang throwing all of this out by chance. This is God making them and setting them there. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." Underscore that. We get our days and our years from the chronology and the movement of our orderly universe from God. "And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven." Notice that it's light and also chronology, time. Light and time is governed by and is interworking with the movement of the planets. Time and light. "And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth." And it was so. "And God made the two lights," the two great lights, "the greater light to rule the day," the sun, "and the lesser light to rule the night," the moon, "and the stars also." And underscore this in your Bible, verse 17, "And God set them in the firmament of heaven." God set them there. You look at the evolutionary explanation in the college textbooks and even in some high school textbooks. It was by a big bang and everything's flying out and certain things are spinning and revolving. And after a while, certain things spun and coalesced and kind of came together. And our moon was formed and our earth and our sun was formed. No. God made them and He set them there. He put them right there where you see them today. And they haven't moved. And so God made the two great lights and set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. Here's our timing now. Here's our basically our 12 hours of day and our 12 hours of night. There's a revolution of the earth, and then there's the rotation of that around the sun. There's chronology, there's timing that gives us what? Verse 14, days and years. It's all by God's design. "And to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, a fourth day." What we experienced, what we call last year, last 365 days, God made that. And He sustains that to this very day. This is not by accident. This is not just some chance evolution. It is by design to give us light and to give us time. We need to be reminded, turn with me to Psalm 65, verse 11, that when God makes a year, He gives us good in that year. The good. What good did you get last year, 2014? What good did you get? It all came from God. And so not only does God make it, but He keeps it going and He sustains it. And in Him we live and move and have our very being, Paul said on Mars Hill there in Athens. But look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 65 in verse 11. "Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness." Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. You underscore that. Everything good comes down from the Father of lights, James 1, 17 and 18. All good things come from our Father, and He crowns the year with goodness. And evil and sin and darkness that is going on. And last year, there were hundreds of news stories that involved things that weren't good. That's coming from man. That's not coming from God. And man has messed up our world. That's true. But the goodness that we get and the year that is crowned with thy goodness is coming from God. And we need to be reminded and be thankful for that. You couldn't even begin to list all of the good that God gave you last year, that gave me last year. We talk about counting our blessings. We can't get to all of them. And so we need to remember that not only does God make this time frame, each part of our life that we call a year, but He sustains it and He crowns the year with goodness. There were things that we needed with regard to rain and He gave it to us. Did you need any water last year? And on and on and on. And it's good to be reminded of that. It's good to be reminded that there was a time, there was a year, what we call A.D. 30, when Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 1:15. You know, as you're turning over to 1 Timothy 1:15, we need to understand and we need to tell our children that there are elements, there are evil forces in our society that are trying to take God away from us. They are trying to remove all the vestiges of God and Bible and those types of things from our society. And if some of those things were not literally etched in stone on our monuments, I'm wondering if it would have been wiped away before now. Those things are etched in our money and in our stone, and some are having a hard time getting it off there. Maybe in time they will. But we're trying to remove statements that reflect God and Jesus and the Bible. And we're beginning to see it in school textbooks and other places where we don't want to use AD anymore. Because you know what that does? That brings attention to Jesus Christ. And so we don't use AD anymore, we use CE, Common Era. And you've probably seen it. And if you haven't, it's everywhere. Common Era. We want to get away from AD because you know what that means in Latin? The year of our Lord. And we don't want anybody thinking in school about Jesus Christ. And I've seen it. You'll see CE more and more instead of AD. Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And from the time that he came into this world, man began to reckon the year by AD, the year of our Lord. You know why? Because that's a great event. That's not just some ho-hum, you know, casual little something. That's God come in the flesh. John 1:1. Our young people have memorized that in their Bible classes. Paul is not going to forget this great event. Faithful is the saying and worthy of all acceptation, and we need to, faithful, trustworthy. We need to be yelling it loudly today that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And from that moment on, man has described that as the year of our Lord, AD. And I'm glad they did. That's one of the good things that man has done. But let me ask you something. Last year was AD 2014, this is AD 2015. Was last year really the year of the Lord for us? Or was it the year of me? Is it just some Latin words, some abbreviations? Or is it really, to me, the year of the Lord? Well, the answer to that question is how I live my life. And how I make my priorities. And who's first in my life. That would be the answer to that question. I'm glad that Larry sang the songs that we did. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4 and verse 19. The first three songs there had to do with, I love to tell the story. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. But did we tell anybody the story last year? Did we tell anybody the story? Did we talk with family and friends and neighbors, someone outside this congregation, about the story? We sing it, but do we practice it? And we need to be telling people the story. It's the year of the Lord. We need to make it His year. Just like today is what? What is it? No, it's my day and I'm going to use it the way I want. No, it's the Lord's day. And it's the Lord's year. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 19, when Jesus stood up in the synagogue to read from the prophet Isaiah, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet of Isaiah, and he opened the book, Luke 4:17. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is a prophecy that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, that he went about with the Spirit doing the Lord's work, preaching and healing and so forth. Because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, he hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Look at verse 19. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The year that Jesus came to preach, it's called the year of the Lord. Verse 19. But what made it the year of the Lord? That's the year that he chose to send his son to come and preach and to save mankind. And it's called the year of the Lord. Will we use it to assemble on the Lord's, each Lord's day, to remember his death? It's his year. It's his death. It's his day. We've spoken recently about some matters of attendance. I believe some brethren have forgotten that it's about the Lord, it's not about them. Will we use 2015 to learn more of His Word? Will we use it to tell others of Him? We just sang, I love to tell the story. Will we show it by actually telling the story? Will we use it to do more of His work? In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, it's described as be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Yes, there's our work, and we need to take care of our work. But there's His work too that often gets the shaft, it gets the back burner, it gets the, well, maybe or maybe not. Well, but not mine. Not mine, boy. It will get done. Now, the Lord's work, I don't know about that. It's the year of the Lord. Last year was, the year before it was, this year was, next year will be, Lord willing, if that comes. It's His year. Let's use it for Him. Will we use it to follow Him more closely? We need to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. If we do some Bible study on that phrase, do that sometime if you have some time. Go home and just do some Bible study on acceptable year of the Lord. What does that mean? Acceptable year of the Lord. What was acceptable about it? What made it the Lord's year? Do that. Think about that. Ponder that. And then make it a reality in our life. It's not about us. That's the problem. It has become about us and what I want and my schedule and what I've got going. It's all, no, it's the year of the Lord. It's the Lord's day each Sunday and it's the Lord's year. And we need to not just proclaim that, but we need to live that in our lives. And I've tried to ask some questions here to ask us, will we be doing that in 2015? This is not an exhaustive list, of course. There's other things that we could put there. But these are some good indicators. It's a good start. There's some who will not assemble regularly. They will not try to dig deeper into His Word. They will not tell others. They will not do His work. They will not follow Him more closely. There are some brethren who are exactly the same, who will be exactly the same spiritually as they were last year in 2013, in 2012, in 2011. Just not growing, not maturing. Just the same. Will we be better disciples and improve and grow and mature? And I know that because the Hebrew writer talks about that. He says, Hebrews 6:1, he says, brethren, it's time to press on. It's time to press on to maturity. They weren't growing. So yes, it's possible for a member of the church just this, and sometimes it could be the same in 2015 as I was in 2010. As I was in 2005. You go back 10 years and 15. Just basically the same old thing. Let us do better. And that's the encouragement. We need to be reminded that this day, Sunday, this year belongs to the Lord. But here's another reminder. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 12. You know, we see the passing of time. We see a lot of changes. You've seen changes in your life. Those of us who are older, those who are older than I, you see a lot of changes as decades go by. You see changes in technology. You see changes in all kinds of things. My dad, who's 89, has seen a lot in 89 years. You see a lot of change in America. But you know who stays the same? God. And he's going to be the same in 2015 as he was in 2014. We cannot put God in some sort of a category of change with us. Well, America's changing, and so God's changing. God never changes. His Word never changes. And we have to bring our life into conformity to His Word. In describing the earth and the physical creation, and as a mantle, thou shalt roll them up. One day the earth and the works are going to be burned up. It's going to be gone. As a mantle, thou shalt roll them up. As a garment, they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. And that's the beauty of the whole thing. When you go to God, He hadn't changed. He's the same. His Word is the same. You don't have to worry about constant. You don't have to worry about someone who's fickle. You know, on one day this way and on another day, it's just always the same. And what's interesting is at the end of this book, the same thing is said in chapter 13 and verse 8. Turn over there, Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He does not change. His law does not change. His will and word for us does not change. And so we have, in all of the, well, the home and family is changing. We talked about that this morning. So what? We're not going to. And the way people live their lives is always changing. So what? We're not going to. As Christians, we're going to stay the same and true to God and His Word. Clothing styles change, and they often get very immodest. But we're not going to wear that. The way people talk changes, and sometimes it's vulgar, but we're not going to talk like that. You see? Yeah, we're in a changing world, absolutely. But God doesn't change, and His Word doesn't change, and His people will not change with the world around them. And we need to remember that. A lot of change going on. Some of it for the good, a lot of it for the worse. But God does it just the same, year after year. Hebrews 1:12. Thy years shall not fail. Thou art the same. I love it. Thou art the same. Someone you can always count on and come back to. I'm also reminded that we're dependent upon God each year. Turn with me to James chapter 4. People who don't believe in God, they get, when the new year comes, they go to those New Year's parties. And their attitude is, well, you know, hey, I got myself through last year, and I'm going to get myself through this year. I'm doing pretty good. No God, no Bible, no church, no religion. Don't need any of that foolishness, you know. What does James say? That we are here by the providence of God. He upholds all things by the word of His mouth. Hebrews 1:3. In Him all things hold together. Colossians 1:15. We have to have God to exist. And if something gets done, it's not just me, it is by the will of God and by His providence and by His care. Verse 13, come now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into this city and spend a year there and trade and get gain. Well, this year I'm just going to do whatever. I'm going to go do this and I'm going to go do that this year. There are people who do that without God in their life. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for your life, what is your life? For you are a vapor, just a little wisp, that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For you ought to say, well, there'd be no reason for James to say that if everybody in the church there was saying it anyway. Some weren't. And so he said, you ought to say. Some brethren had left God out. James has several negative things to say about brethren. Chapter 4, verse 1, they were fighting and warring. Some of these brethren were terrible. And some of them had just left God out of the picture. And so James says, you ought to say, well, if they were already saying it, there'd be no need for that. Some of them weren't. They had gotten to this point where last year I did it on my own, and in 2015 I'm just going to do it on my own. No, you ought to say. Well, what ought we to say? What does James say? We ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Look at verse 16. But know that your glorying, You glory in your vauntings. What is the vaunting? The vaunting, the pride there is that I can go this year and I don't need God. That's the vaunting. I don't need God. I'm just going to go over here and do this and go over there and do that. It is not good, James says. Your vaunting, all such glorying is evil. When we leave God out, it's just flat out evil. So look at the very next verse. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We know that what we need to do is, we need to say, if the Lord will. We are dependent upon the Lord's will. We have always been, whether atheists want it or not, or weak brethren want it or not, it's always been the case that we, in him we live and move and have our very being. And if we're going to do something this year, it's by the Lord's will. And we need to appreciate that and love that and thank God for that. And then also ask ourselves, Lord, help me to understand your will and help me to bring my life into conformity to your will. And what you give me, including things involving work and school and personal lives, that's the Lord's will. We should appreciate what he gives us and be the best Christian in whatever circumstance he gives us. And that's what Paul said in Philippians 3, whatever state I am, I'm content. And in whatever state I am, in him, he can strengthen me. And that needs to be our approach. God is only going to give us a will that is the best for us. We're dependent upon him. Turn with me to 2 Peter 3. When we enter into a new year, we're also reminded that last year, do you know what last year was for us? It was 365 days to make some change. That's what it was. It was 365 days of probation where God could have called all things off, and here's the judgment day, but he gave us 365 days to make some changes. Wow, that's a beautiful thought, isn't it? Did you and I use it to make those changes? Somebody says, well, why didn't the Lord come last year? I'll tell you why. Peter says why. He tells us exactly why he didn't come. I know why he didn't come. He's long-suffering. He gave us another 365 days to make those changes that we need to make. Now, there's another way to look at it. Look at 2 Peter 3 and start back in verse 4. Some people look at it a different way. Some people say that if God didn't come, the reason he didn't come is he doesn't keep his word. That's another way to look at it, and that's how the mockers were looking at it. Look at verse 4. Where is the promise of his coming? For from the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. God's not coming because he hadn't come yet. He didn't come last year. He hadn't come this year. He's not coming. That's the way the mockers were looking at it. And if we're not careful, we can get into that same mode and mentality, because I see it in American society. Oh yeah, God, right. Right. Jesus is coming. Come on, it's 2014, it's 2015, nothing's ever happened. And there's that slow leavening effect that can trickle down to us if we're not careful. He didn't come last year, not because he's asleep, not because he's a promise breaker, not because he's off somewhere not knowing what's going on. He purposely is being long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, including us when we need to make some changes. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Even those wicked ISIS people walking around cutting heads off, that's just terrible. But he wants them to be saved. The rapist, the murderer, all those vile people, religious people, everywhere in between, wants everybody saved. That's why he didn't come last year. Not because he's a promise breaker, but because he gives us another opportunity. And so, did we use last year to make that change? Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't use last year to obey the gospel. I didn't use last year to quit that bad habit. Well, then you spurned 365 days of long suffering. maybe God will give us another year. I don't know, but one day that's going to run out. One day that there won't be any more of that. But we had 365 days, 24 hours in each one of those days to make that change. And if we just didn't do it, it's not God's fault. So let's think about that. Is there something that we need to change? God is prolonging it to give us that time. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Don't drag our feet, but get up and make that change. Turn with me to Revelation 9:15. Do you know that God has a year that is set to judge mankind? He doesn't tell us what the year is, but in His mind He does. Do you remember when Larry was taking us through that study of the book of Revelation, and much of the middle part of the book has to do with God's judgment on Rome? The seals that are opened, the trumpets that are blown, the bowls of wrath that are poured out are symbolic messages of God judging Rome. And Larry brought this out, and it's a very good point. And I don't even know if I had thought about it much before or not, but he made the point. He said that when God was making war with Rome, did you see any of that happening on the earth? Did you see Jesus riding around on a white horse? And did Christians take up arms and stuff like that? You never saw any of that. Well, did it happen? Yes. God behind the scenes made war with Rome and brought it down, but you didn't see Jesus riding around on a white horse. That's symbolic language to show that He judged Rome. But look at 9:15. God had a year prepared for that. And the four angels were loosed that had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year that they should kill the third part of men. God has a time in His mind for America. I believe He has a time in mind for all nations. He had a time in mind when Babylon, He was going to bring them down. Isaiah 13 prophesies of that. When Egypt is going to fall. When Babylon is going to fall. When Assyria is going to fall. When Rome is going to fall. He has a time in His mind. He doesn't tell us what the date is. But it's going to happen. And when sinful man in any nation content to flaunt and flout God and just cast Him off, He has a day and a month and a year in which He's going to send out His judgment. And it also happens on individuals. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. I asked Jake if he would read this passage. This rich farmer, his problem was not that he was rich. There's nothing wrong with having things. That's not his problem. And his problem wasn't that he wanted to improve his barns. That's not his problem. His problem was in being caught up with that and his covetousness with that. There is that background in verse 15. Beware of covetousness. And so there'd be no need to say anything about this man if there wasn't something related to verse 15, the covetousness. But in his covetousness toward that, not those things just themselves, but his covetousness in that, he neglected his own soul. And he was not right with God. And his attitude was, verse 19, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Well, I'm just going to be fine. And boom, that night, God takes him away. God had a time frame for him. And this man thought, well, I've just got all the time in the world. And no, God in his mind said, nope, this is the year in which, boom, you're done. What is that for us? Go around there. For each one of us, God has a time frame for us. We've got to be right with Him when that time frame comes. And young people think, oh, that means Chris is talking about when I get elderly. No, there's all kinds of news stories about young people, car crashes, all kinds of deaths early in life. God knows what that time is for us. We don't, so we need to be ready. When His year, if you will, is set for us, in His day, in His month, we have to be right with Him. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, how did we spend 2014? How did we spend it? Look back over. Turn with me to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is that psalm about how that our life is limited and we don't just live forever. We might live to be 70 or 80 years old by reason of strength. Some live beyond that. God gives them more years. But it's about the passing of time and how quickly our days pass, you know, in relative to the big picture. So in the passing of that, how did we spend the passing of 2014? Verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We bring our years to an end as a sigh. The days of our years are 70. Or by reason of strength, 80. Yet is their pride but labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone, and we fly away. Each year that passes flies away. One day it's all going to be gone. How did we spend 2014? Look at verse 12. Because of the passing of years, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. In other words, smarten up. Not educationally speaking and worldly education, but wise up with God's word and be ready, because it's just passing and fleeting. And 2014, that year passed. Did we spend it in well-pleasing service to God as much as we physically could? Hebrews 12:28, offering up service that is well-pleasing to Him? Or was some of it just spent on me? Some of the Sundays were for me. In murmuring against God and good things, it's easy to do. I'm sure we've all been guilty of it. But we're not to be complainers or murmurers, because the very next verse tells us, so that we may be children blameless and children of light. We don't do that. We don't murmur and complain, so that we might be children of light. That's how we're effective. We're not effective when we're murmuring. Did we spend 2014 in proper walking with God? Paul talks about walking in light and walking in righteousness. Or was some of that a walk of sin? It's passing. In 2015, if it's the Lord's will, we'll pass just like 2014. And maybe we've already got we're a couple of weeks into it. You know, maybe we've got a good indication of how this year is going to go. Good or bad? Has there already been something just by January the 11th that has happened that shouldn't have happened, and we already know that more of that may come? We can stop it right now. We can control it. We can take care of it. And that's what our reminders are about. And did we spend 2014 in growing toward God? Growing, that we may grow thereby. We desire the milk of the Word, that we might grow thereby. We are a more mature Christian. We're a stronger Christian. We became a Christian the right way to begin with. We started the race. It really concerns me, brethren, that in the next little while, there won't be any gospel preachers. There won't be any elders. There won't be any deacons. It really does concern me. We have to grow. Men, we have to grow. We have to be growing ourselves. We have to be growing in our marriage and our family, because in elders and deacons, it requires the whole family. Go back and read 1 Timothy 3. We've got to be growing. I'm fearful that what we're thinking is we're just thinking a week at a time. And we're not looking down the road. And one day, after those who are serving in those capacities pass on, who is there to fill their shoes? And Bible class teachers. And godly husbands and wives and godly parents, if we're not growing toward that, it's just not going to happen accidentally. And servants in the church and song leaders and other kinds of things. We have to be growing and maturing. That has to be a goal. That has to be something we're shooting toward. That has to be a target. Or is it just, I pretty much live a week at a time, you know? Kind of the way I was a year ago, the way I was 5 years ago, kind of works for me. Or are we growing? I'll single out Matthew and then close. A lot of times when I call my dad and talk with him, try to call him every few weeks, a lot of times he'll say, how's Matthew doing? You know, he really impresses me. He said, when we moved to Dixon, it'd be Hopkinsville first and then Dixon back in the 90s. You know, he was just a young boy, and I remember being around him, and he lost his daddy, and I was wondering about him, you know, what would he make of his life? And you know what? I was really impressed when I've seen him preaching and I've seen him teaching Bible class. Tell me about Matthew. He's always asking about Matthew. His point is he's growing, and he grew and he continues to grow. We all need to be like that. We're not just going to live our life sort of drifting and come what may, que sera, sera, you know, whatever will be, just, but a purposeful journey to growing each year. And I hope that that is our case. But how did we spend last year? That may be an indication of how we spend this year. And if we need to make some changes, let's do that. I hope these reminders have helped us. They didn't have anything to do with weight loss. They didn't have anything to do with those kinds of things. Nothing wrong with those kinds of things. They have to do with spiritual reminders that help us get to heaven. And that's where we all want to go. And if I can encourage you in any way, if you need to make those changes, if you want to come forward and we can talk and let those needs be made known, why won't you come as we stand and sing?